Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show podcast. This is Carol Topp, your host. This is episode number 55, Starting a Microbusiness, part two. Part one, episode 54, you can listen to, was part of a presentation I did at a homeschool conference in Michigan in 2015. And in the first part, I talked about some very important things to being successful in starting a microbusiness, like record keeping. And in this second portion, there's a lot of questions from the audience, particularly about taxes. That seems to be very much the concern. But I also share some tips for being very successful, like having a business plan and avoiding some pitfalls. I also share with you a video you'd probably be interested in watching. It's on YouTube, but I will put the link in the show notes to dollarsandcentsshow.com, or you can find it over at microbusinessforteens.com. It's a video produced by a public television station, and it's called Starting a Microbusiness. It features six teenagers and the businesses that they started. And in particular, I share the story in this podcast about Philip, and you can learn more about what Philip's microbusiness was and what he did to be very successful. And I think you'll find it interesting and encouraging. I hope you will check out my website and my microbusinessforteens.com, as well as the books that I sell there, because they're meant to be an encouragement to you that you as a teenager can start your own microbusiness. Or hey, you know what, you as a parent can start your own microbusiness too if you like. You'll learn a lot and you'll make some money doing it. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. Oh, wow. She had two great questions. What are the advantages of a microbusiness? I'll tackle that one. And where does sales tax go? Sales tax go to the state for whatever the state government wants to spend it on. Does it go to illegal immigrants? Probably, and directly to services to everyone who's living in the state. Yes. Schools, hospitals, other things the state, roads. Yes. One big pot of money. That's where sales tax goes. Advantages, I think you learn a lot more when you run your own business than maybe working as an employee. I think you have a lot more control and freedom. You're going to learn important skills like time management, which you can learn from having a job. But you're going to learn responsibility. You're going to, I do a whole workshop on the things you can learn from running a microbusiness. So I wasn't going to cover that here. But not just earning money, but you're going to learn a lot about business, about what you're good at. You could test a future career. Lots of advantages. Some of that you can do in a job, but you're usually more told what to do. You're not necessarily allowed to do what you're gifted in or skilled in, or find out what you're gifted or skilled in. Yes, sir.
So feel free to say good questions. It's not the right forum, but okay. For teens running their own business, we can claim them on our taxes as parents. What do we need to know when they're running a microbusiness?
Yeah. Good question. I'll repeat that for the rest of you who can't hear it in the recording. He asked the question I usually get from an adult in the end. And what about taxes on teenage microbusiness owners? And there's a book devoted to it, but teensandtaxes.com will answer these questions too. Basically, yes, parents, whew, you can claim them on your tax return as your dependent. But Philip, even though he was making $50,000, filed his own income tax return, checked a box that said, I am a dependent on someone else's tax return, because mom and dad were still housing and feeding him and paying for his upkeep, okay? But Philip filed his own income tax return, paid federal income tax, and paid self-employment tax. I referenced that earlier, okay? So here's two numbers you write down. Federal income tax, $6,150. If your student makes more than $6,150, either from a W-2 job or from profit in their business, they will start owing federal income tax. Okay? That threshold gets adjusted every year. Self-employment tax, the second dollar threshold you want to write down, is $400. When they make a profit of more than $400 a year, they have to pay self-employment tax, which is them paying into the Social Security system 15% of their profits. That $400 threshold has not been adjusted since the 1960s. If it had been adjusted for inflation, I did the math one day, it would be about that $6,000. I've gone to two congressmen, my representative, who's John Boehner, Speaker of the House, and another congressman in Ohio, and said, can we please get this adjusted, at least for teenagers, if not for everybody? But I'm not getting anywhere, of course. So anyway, you kids, I need to realize that. So my daughter did piano lessons, and she earned like $1,000 one summer, okay, giving piano lessons. She didn't owe federal income tax. She prepared her own tax return, because you have to. This is a very important skill, one of the things you'll learn. It's very good, important to learn how to prepare a tax return. She didn't owe federal income tax. She owed self-employment tax, 15% of her profit, because she earned over $400. Real life. First time I told Philip how much he was going to owe in taxes. You know, approximately 15% income tax when he's making 50K. Yeah, he's in the 15% tax bracket, 15% for self-employment tax, roughly 5% for Ohio. And he's like, Mrs. Topp, I'm going to give away 35% of my profit in taxes? Welcome to the adult world, Philip. Yep. Just in the back, sir. Yeah, and that depends on the state, and usually not, but it depends. Like I said, in Ohio, up to $4,000 of income, you don't have to collect sales tax for lawn services. I do not know the answer to that in Michigan. Does anybody know that? Look that up. Usually we like to kind of put our head in the sand and not think that teenagers are paying sales tax, but they must. Let me talk real briefly here about, as you're getting an idea of a business you want to run, let's flesh it out a little bit and do what I call a mini business plan, which has three parts in my micro business world. You can also find business plans that are very sophisticated, and that's meant for adults to take to investors or banks. But a teenager should at least think of, what is the product or service? Again, I lean towards encouraging you to start service-based. Easier to start, easier to shut down. And think about how you're going to measure success. Okay? So featured in the video is a wonderful girl named Linnea. She was adopted from China when she was 13. She wanted to go back to China to visit her family. That was her goal. She measured success. What she did for her microbusiness, by the way, was tutor younger adopted Chinese children in Chinese. Great microbusiness, right? Something she already knew. There was a need. These parents wanted to keep a little bit of Chinese culture for their children. She spoke it naturally. She just came and taught these little kids Chinese. Great idea. She measured success when she had hit a financial goal, $1,500 for the airfare, $1,500 for her expenses and the gift she was going to buy for people who've been kind to her when she was living in an orphanage and fostered her in China. So beautiful story. That's how she measured success. Philip measured success by, I still want to learn something on how to build a website. I want to see if I can get more clients, customers, hits, stuff like that. So you can measure success in dollars in terms of experience. My daughter Emily wanted to figure out if she wanted to be a music major, so she offered piano lessons. Then I saw she was good at math. She learned bookkeeping. I taught her an accounting class. She was a bookkeeper for one of my clients to test a career. She also made good money bookkeeping, $15 an hour. She was thrilled. So was the lady she worked for. Yeah. Yeah. We got a budding Republican there, don't we? Her question was, the more money we make, the more taxes we pay, yes, you're right, to people who don't work. Yes, that's kind of how the system works. Yes, she's got it. Nutshell, doesn't she? Yes. And ultimately, dear, you want to be a taxpayer. You want to pay big taxes. Legally, as little as legally allowed. But ultimately, my husband jokes about, we're all trying to raise taxpayers, aren't we, Mom and Dad? Yeah. I just did a workshop on financially emancipating your children. After you come up with an idea, a concept, and how you're going to measure success, because that keeps it manageable, so you don't want to necessarily take on every piano student out there. Think about how you're going to market. That was a problem the girl had that came to my booth. We don't know if she was marketing at all. Just putting up an Etsy website does not necessarily mean people know you're out there for you to sell your jewelry. You have to think of, who are your customers? Where do they hang out? Meaning online or in person. Who is your competition? And I touched on this earlier. How are you going to be unique? The guy with the candles and the manly scents, he was unique, because nobody else was putting dirt and mowed grass smells into candles. Now Yankee Candle does it. Yeah. But you have to think how you're going to be unique. Why should people hire you? Why should someone hire my daughter to give piano lessons at age 16? She was 16, rather than a professional piano teacher. Why do you think they would hire her? What might be an advantage she might have? Yep. She was a lot cheaper. That's right. She charged half of what a professional piano teacher would charge. You also know what else? I think I have a picture of her. There she is. She's a lot less scary than some piano teachers, isn't she? Yeah, she was more approachable, especially for, you know, young girls like that. So that's how she was unique, too.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
So anyway, think how you're going to be different. The financial plan, which is the hardest, what is it going to cost to start this? Hopefully nothing. Hopefully nothing. And then what am I going to charge? Let's find out what my competition charges. I'll undercut them if I can. I have to make a profit. And that's another hard thing about selling products. Make a profit. Piano lessons are ideal, though, because I didn't charge Emily for the piano. She already had it in the house, right? It was a very easy business to start up and to shut down. So this is basically her business plan. Her concept was piano lessons. How would she measure success? She wanted 5 students, a very small number, right? And she wanted the experience to find out if she wanted to be a professional piano teacher. She decided she didn't because they work all the hours nobody else works, right? And she actually has a good brain for math, so she went to study accounting, and now she's a tax accountant. And she likes playing piano for joy. Okay. So her marketing was to beginning students. So here's how parents can really help. And what I did was I put out word on my friends. You can do it on Facebook. Her customers were not really the children. Her customers were really the parents of the children. So I helped in saying, I'll spread word to my homeschool moms, my friends. You know, and there's, do you all have like, you know, e-loops or citywide email lists or something like that? We do in Cincinnati, and it connects to like all the homeschoolers in Cincinnati. My daughter Emily in Westchester, Ohio, is accepting new piano students. Cost $7 for a half-hour lesson. Yeah. And pretty quickly she had students, and then word of mouth took care of it from then. Her competition was experienced teachers, and her advantage was she charged less than the competition. Her financial plan was very simple, too. She had hardly any expenses. She'd give away rewards. She had to buy a few piano books, but usually the parents would reimburse them. Not much at all. She gave away stickers. She actually increased her price. She came home one summer from college and didn't have employment, so she used my help again to network, and she ended up offering like a 10-lesson package for just the summer. That was really unique, too, and what she found was that there were students that were so busy during the school year, they couldn't do piano lessons, but they wanted to take a little piano. And there was one girl who was a really, really good violinist or viola player, I forget, and she needed some piano skills. A lot of times, really good high school musicians and another instrument need piano skills. And she said, 10 lessons? Perfect. That's what I want. So she was teaching newbies as well as kids who knew music. But anyway, it was a great summer employment for her that summer. There's my books. I start out with starting a micro business. That's getting an idea. That's fleshing out the idea in that business plan I just talked through, avoiding some pitfalls like dealing with a partner. Don't deal with a partner. Please don't deal with a partner. Don't start business with a partner. Philip made that mistake on his first one. He and his best friend John are no longer best friends. Okay. The second book, the one with the girl on the cover, covers some important stuff like record keeping, like we touched on, customer service, marketing, things that parents get nervous about like insurance and reducing risk. The green cover with the guy there covers money and taxes, sales tax. You'll need that book if your child is making about $500 profit or selling a product because you need to know about sales tax. And then I designed it because I'm a homeschool mom, right? I designed it to be like a class you could offer your kid. and give them a semester credit. Take about a semester, or it's really, really fun in a group. Gather a group together. I taught it at my homeschool co-op, and each kid started their own business. They read the book, come in, do the workbook assignment. Some of them got further along in their business than others. One girl, Emily, she's featured in the video, was a little busy when I was running the class, so she started a micro business teaching ballet lessons in her basement the next semester when she was a little less busy. That's the beauty of micro businesses. Do I think it helps if someone has a micro business and then takes the money and invests it in stock? I wouldn't necessarily recommend McDonald's. They're a very mature company. She actually had two stocks picked out, companies picked out. Did you hear that? Usually mutual funds are a good idea for a beginning investor. McDonald's is not considered a growth company, and you have a long time for your money to grow. But it's a very good idea to take your money and invest it. Yes. This video I've been referring to is on YouTube. Okay. You can just go to Micro Business for Teens. It's on the homepage. Watch it on YouTube. It was produced by a public television station. I think I said that. So quite good. They put my picture on the cover. I didn't ask them to do that. Okay. Okay. What happened to Philip? You want to know what happened to Philip? This is Free Forums, his website. So I told you Philip turned down that $750,000 offer, continued to run the business, got to be high school, middle of college, near the end of college. He wanted to go to Stanford, at graduate school. So he wanted to get a little more serious about his studies. He was working basically a full-time job and going to school. Kind of had enough of that after 3 years. So he decided to sell his business, and he got a job. He got an offer. Pretty quickly, got an offer. At this point, Philip is dealing in areas where I could not help him. I'm a CPA. He had to get mentors, which his parents were very helpful in getting him mentors. He was dealing with people who knew the value of websites. I do not know the value of websites, but these guys, men usually, but these people did. Okay, so here was the offer. Ready? $1.2 million. He was 21 years old. It was a combination of cash and stock, and then he agreed to work for the company for a year after the sale, so there was a good transition. So he was still a student, still working for him. But here's the sweet part, okay? Here's the sweet part, parents. His mom calls me, says, Philip sold his company. I said, yeah, I know, I saw it in the paper. Yeah, but this time, anyway. And she said, well, Carol, I'm calling you because he wants to do something with some of the cash he received, and I have to talk to you about it, okay? Philip wants to pay off our mortgage.
Oh my
goodness. I know. Look at your face. That's all right. I was like, oh, what a kid. What a kid. His parents have been so supportive of him going through all this, finding him mentors. His dad was in sales and would make Philip plaques and sales goals and what do they call them? Awards and things like that when he would hit a new level of customers or something like that. You know, just encouraging him and letting him, you know, figure out what he wanted to do, not pressuring him at all. So he in turn appreciated what his parents had done, paid off the mortgage. She was calling me to find out if there were gift tax implications. There were not. And anyway, she ended up saying to me, you know, I think Philip is the kind of kid that someday might start a charitable foundation. Wouldn't that be cool? You know? So he didn't get into Stanford. Sorry to say, he did not. Stanford's a very competitive school to get into. He did not. But his consolation prize, he now works for Google. He's doing okay. Isn't that cool? So he's doing some pretty cool stuff. I still follow him on Facebook a little bit. Okay, her question was, her son made a ton of money, and you're all shocked at the amount of tax he owes on his tax return. What can be done? I'd have to ask you about five more questions, but in general, let's talk about what did he do to make a ton of money? Was it a business he had, or W-2 a job, like working as an employee? So he was an employee.
And he worked his way up.
So he's an employee.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing you can do.
Okay.
To be perfectly blunt, there isn't. If he were running his own business, I'd say, well, let's make sure he has taken every business expense that he can, including things like, you know, mileage when appropriate and depreciation of equipment he bought and all this kind of complicated tax stuff. But basically, when an employee, you know, you've seen that old joke, that old cartoon about here's the IRS's new tax return. Put down your income, line one, send it in, line two. Yeah. There's very little, and he has no dependents. He probably is not itemizing deductions because he probably doesn't have a mortgage. Most of my clients, my tax clients, don't itemize deductions, so they have mortgages. Even if they're generous tithers, it's not enough to get over the standard deduction. He's still a dependent because he's still a college student. So you want to claim him on yours, and you're providing, I assume, his housing? Yeah. Nope, sorry. He's going to feel the pain. And here again where my husband jokes that he thinks election day should be April 15th, 16th, to April 16th, the day after our taxes are due. He's also kind of a little radical. He also thinks that there should be no federal withholding. Why? Why? Go ahead.
What are they doing with our money during that time, you know, with our money?
They're paying federal employees. Why does the federal government set up automatic withholding through employers to pay taxes instead of waiting for us to send it on it? Why do we agree to have the money withheld or pay quarterly? Why don't we just all pay it on April 15th? Yeah, yeah, they do. Here's my point. The reason that, well, first of all, the government is cash flow. The government needs cash all the time. We would feel it too much if we paid it all without the withholdings. We don't feel the impact of our taxes when it's just withheld from our... The people who complain to me loudest about taxes that they owe are the small business people, because they feel and see the pain of writing that check out quarterly. They feel it more than those of us who are employees and just have it invisibly withheld. So that's why my husband jokes about we should make election day the day after we pay our taxes with no withholding. But, you know, he's a little radical like that. So we have a little more time for some more questions or comments or ideas out there. Mostly, a lot of these things that I get talking about, kind of technical stuff, taxes and stuff, can kind of serve to discourage. And I don't want you to do that. I don't want to discourage you from attempting something, kids. I want you to go ahead and start it. Learn a lot. It might fail, but there's no failure. There's only feedback, as I would tell my daughter when she was growing up. There's just a lot of opportunity for you to figure out what you're good at and make adjustments and try again. So there's a lot to learn, and you'll be at such a great advantage. All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be down at my booth. We've got a little break for lunch and for shopping. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.